This is season 5 of Sadie's Divorced and Happy podcast, where I talk about life after divorce with a playful perspective. Are you seeking more adventure? Are you excited to explore your own self-care and sensuality? Do you long for laughter and a cheeky, fun approach to post-divorce dating? Then join me for today's episode to refresh and recharge your life after divorce. Do you know what is the best after divorce? Like the best, do you know? Sleeping by yourself, seriously, in a big bed with like, I don't know, 2 to 3 pillows and like the softest sheets. That is the best. I mean, don't you just love your bed so much more after divorce? That big old delicious bed, it's just for you. It's just yours. You don't have to share it. No one's going to hog the sheets. No one's going to snore in your ear. If you are newly divorced, you got to treat yourself to some new sheets. The good ones, okay? Yeah, I have a lot to say about sleeping after divorce. I love it so much because when I was married, I'm just going to keep it real, bedtime was a little stressful for me. There was a long list of reasons why. I won't share all of them today, but after divorce, oh my gosh, I love going to bed. I love it. A good night's sleep in my own bed. Honestly, what could be more delicious? What could be more delicious? And if you are thinking about sex right now, that just means to me that I have been divorced longer than you. Trust me, okay? Just wait in a few years, you'll be like, oh yeah, Sadie was right. Sleeping is even better. A good night's sleep is even better than good sex. Both are great, but give me the good rest, please. Now, the only thing that sometimes puts a little snafu in a delightful night's rest for me is when I have one of those, what the hell was that kind of dream? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, maybe about your ex. Do you have those? I've had quite a few of those since my divorce. Well, maybe you don't even dream at all. I always dream. And then I, you know, analyze my dream. And then I share my dream with my friends. And then they analyze it. So it's a big, long process. I personally find dreams to be very fascinating, kind of strange, and also sometimes very magical. Well, today's guest, Holly Emerson, she is extra magical because she is actually a dream oracle. I know. And as a dream oracle, Holly navigates the dimensions of the dream world to connect with, support, heal, and guide individuals on their path to healing and profound alignment with their higher selves. Holy cow, right? Well, Holly is here today to explain actually why we dream and how we can use the state of dreaming to experience even more happiness after divorce. Because we all need more happiness after divorce. That is for sure. Doesn't this topic sound like just really zen and relaxing and nice? All right, let's start this insightful conversation with Holly with some burning questions.
Burning questions. Let's turn up the heat for 60 seconds.
All the way from Calgary, Canada, Holly Emerson is ready to burn it up with us today, listener, with some burning questions. Holly, it is such a treat to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so honored and excited to be a guest on your podcast.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating topic, being a dream oracle, dreams, the meaning of dreams. We're going to get into all of that. But first, we're going to get to know you a little bit more through these burning questions. Again, just the rapid fire. So just go with your gut answer, okay? Here is the first question. True or false? There is no such thing as a bad dream.
True.
Do you have a dreamy Hollywood crush?
Person that comes to mind is Cillian Murphy in Peaky Blinders.
Nice. Okay. As a dream oracle, have you ever had to translate really spicy, sensual dreams to a client?
Yes and no.
Okay, I want to hear more about that. Okay. What is the dreamiest attribute about living in Calgary, Canada?
The magical mountains that are in our backyard.
Ooh, true or false? Everyone has a dream language.
True.
True. Is daydreaming a form of dreaming?
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh.
When it comes to traveling, what is the dreamiest destination you've ever been to?
I love Thailand. My heart is has been in Thailand for a long time, and it's been a long time since I've been there.
Oh, I want to go there someday. Okay. What is the biggest misconception about dreams?
That they are purely psychological and subconscious based.
Interesting. All right. What is the best part of being a dream oracle?
The powerful and gentle and subtle way that I can help people heal and transform through the dream world.
Ooh, and we are hoping to do some of that today, or at least get a glimpse of how we can do some of that after divorce. So many questions. Now, Holly and I, listener, we've had a couple of meetups before this interview, so there are a lot of layers to this conversation. So we're going to start taking away some of the layers, but there is so much more. So I definitely want you to follow Holly after this interview and learn more about what it means to be a dream oracle and her services, and her Instagram page is fascinating. All right, all of that now to ask my first question, Holly. What are dreams? Why do we dream? And how do you approach dreams differently? Because I know you have such a unique approach.
Essentially, I believe that dreams are so much more than what we have been taught. We've been taught that dreams are our subconscious processing our day, processing whether it's stresses, challenges, billboards that we drive by, all the things that we are constantly bombarded with. We are taught that our dreams are just us processing that. And that is an aspect of what we are doing in the dream world while we're asleep, but it is such a small portion. So I believe that, I guess first off, I should say when I refer to the dream world, my definition of that is the spirit world. So we are going into the spirit world, the infinite, the astral planes, the dimensions, everything. And when we go into that space, we are doing so much more. We are connecting with our soul family, our higher self, our spirit guides. We have our own personal dream language in that space because we have unique experiences in our own life and our own symbolism and meaning behind those experiences. So this is why we have our own personal dream language. And so I actually believe that when we go into the dream world, and why we need to sleep is for our spiritual well-being. There's been so many studies around why we dream. They don't fully understand scientifically why we dream. They do think that, you know, a portion of it is because our body needs to rest. But when we are actually in REM stage of sleep, which is when we typically are dreaming, our brain patterns light up and our brain activity is so, there's like parts of our brain that light up that don't light up at other points during our day when we're awake. And they've done studies on rats where when they're disturbed in that deep REM sleep, they actually don't live as long. They become irritable. They are aggressive. They literally go from living from like 2 to 3 years to like 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow.
So they kind of, some have hypothesized with that is that we dream for our well-being. And I say we dream for our spiritual well-being. We need to like tap into that source energy every night. And that's why we sleep and dream. And so how I approach dreaming is really about empowering other people to start utilizing those 8 hours or 7 hours of sleep each night to really help us set up our waking life, help us navigate challenges, obstacles, align more fully with our higher selves, what we truly desire, what we want to manifest. We can use that time when we're sleeping to energetically upgrade, transform, shift ourselves. So when we wake up in the morning, we can start our day from a much more grounded, aligned and integrated space. And so I like to teach people dream work because everybody also like wants to know what their dreams mean. And everybody's also at the same time been taught dreams are just dreams, just kind of slough them off. They're not really anything. But I'm here to say that dreams are powerful. Dreams are messages from our soul, from our spirit guide, our higher self, whatever word resonates with you, God, spirit, whatever works. That's what our dreams are. Our dreams are us tapping into that energy. And when we start working with our dreams, we can consciously bring back that wisdom into this waking world and use that wisdom to support us in our daily lives.
Okay. This is just, I have so many chills right now because it's just so magical to me. But after divorce, what you just said right now, because we need more support after divorce, mm-hmm. we're starting a new chapter, we're overwhelmed. You know, maybe the listener is freshly divorced and she or he is just looking for a sign, looking for something to guide him or her with the next step. So how can dreams help in that capacity for someone who's starting over, so to speak?
Yeah, dreams can help us really tune into our intuition. So I would say really focus in on the energy and the feeling of the dream. I always say this. I always go to that before I go to symbols and really feel into the energy and the feelings of what the dreams, like how you're feeling when you're moving through the dreams, how you feel when you wake up, and kind of trust. Like let's say you have a dream and it was a pleasant dream. You know, maybe you just needed to feel some relief and some pleasant energy in your life and some peace. And that's what your dream was doing. Your dream was just helping you rest and energetically recharge and giving you that peaceful experience that maybe you're not experiencing while you're going through everything that you're going through in your divorce. And so dreams can just be like the solitude, like the space that you need to recharge so you can do what you need to do in the day.
I remember years ago after my divorce, I dreamt a lot about white paint. And I have a friend who loves to, you know, analyze dreams, research dreams. He talked about that earlier, how that's kind of what we look at these symbols and we try to decide, well, what does this really mean? So again, when it comes to dreaming in signs, can you talk about that for someone also who's been through a divorce, who's going through a divorce, how dreams can give us signs to help us make decisions? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Dreams are definitely there as guides and tools to help us navigate our everyday life. For me, when I heard, you know, this white paint, you dreamt a lot about white paint.
I did. I never dreamt about white paint in my life. I'm like, why am I dreaming about white paint? This, you know, so strange. I don't paint. I don't paint my house. Yeah. I'm not an artist who paints. But, I mean,
yeah. I mean, like the first thing that just kind of intuitively popped up, and to me, it seems kind of obvious, but it's like a clean slate,
I guess,
a blank canvas,
right, I guess.
You know, it's just like starting anew. And, you know, you could take that as a sign of just like, okay, like, what is it that you want to create? You have a blank canvas. What is the first color that you want to put on that canvas? What do you want to paint on that? So it's like, literally, it's like saying, you know, the world is your oyster. Like, what is it that you could do anything with this blank canvas? So that's kind of how I would read that. And so, yeah, there's so many signs and symbols. And also, I think our guides are always with us. And during these times when we're experiencing more stress, like a divorce, our guides are there and helping us and are going to be so much more present in a conscious way. And so, like, feeling what that feels like is going to be, I think, very supportive in knowing that you're not alone. And you might not physically see your guide in your dream as a person. You know, they might come to you as a scent or, like, you know, in your sense, like this blank canvas and whatever that feeling was for you. And so just tuning into those subtle energies of one's dreams, I think, can be very supportive. So instead of focusing on necessarily like the symbols, but what does that symbol feel like for you? What kind of intuition is activated for you when you drop into your dream and think about your dream and feel into
that's so interesting, because sometimes I'll dream Holly and I'll wake up and I won't remember my dream, but I feel good. Like the dream, whatever it was about, helped me feel better. Those are the best dreams. You know, I asked you in the burning questions that is there such a thing as a bad dream? Because we talk about that. We talk a lot about, oh, I had a bad dream. I had a nightmare. But you said no. So, okay, here's something funny. Like, say, for example, the listener dreams about his or her ex, which is maybe not a great dream, Holly. I'm just going to say it.
I know.
And they are thinking to themselves, like, oh, my God, I keep dreaming about my ex. I don't want to dream about my ex. What would you say to that person who's having that dream about someone? Because I recently had a dream about, not my ex, but about an ex I dated since divorce. And it wasn't a pleasant dream. It was very kind of disturbing, but it was powerful. Like, okay, that was a powerful dream. I'm still kind of figuring this out, et cetera. But for the listener who, like, oh my gosh, I don't want to keep dreaming about my ex, there's a purpose to that, right? You'd probably say. So what would be your response?
So it is really individual as to why, you know, you might dream of your ex. And okay, so let's give this context around why I said, you know, there's no bad dream.
Yes.
And from my perspective is yes, okay, it's the same. I have the same outlook on life. Like there's no bad thing. It's just, there's always two sides. You can always look. Yeah. There's going to be an experience. You're like, oh, okay, I don't really want to experience that, but what am I learning? What am I growing through? What is this encouraging me to step into? And so I think our dreams are the same. So when we have a bad dream that's unpleasant, yes, I'm not discounting that aspect of it, but it's also calling attention to what can I learn? How am I meant to grow through this? What is this calling me to heal? So you can actually digest and process those emotions. So you don't have to always be dreaming of your ex or having bad dreams. You can learn how to use those negative dreams to actually move through and digest these things so you can move forward without that baggage. So that's why I say there's no bad dream.
What I'm hearing so far in our conversation is about focusing more on the feeling of a dream versus the story. See, I love story, Holly. I love a good story. So when I have a dream that has a good story, I get caught up in the story versus the feeling. And I'm hearing you, what I'm hearing at least, is that you're talking more about how do you feel?
So our human minds want to, and naturally are taught to move in linear time. And a story takes place through linear time. Our dreams and the spirit world are not linear time. And so we can't look at our dreams and analyze our dreams with our thinking mind and our logical mind and our rational mind and how we are taught to use our brains in our waking life. It's very beneficial in our waking life. But when it comes to dreams, we have to learn to step out of that and into our intuition. And tuning into your feelings is one of the best ways to start connecting in with your intuition when exploring your dreams.
And also what I'm knowing and learning about myself is sort of that ability to kind of surrender and let go and let something bigger help me. Dreams definitely are tools for that type of support. You'd agree. Obviously, you're nodding your head.
Yes, yes. That's one thing that I love so much about dreams is because dreams are such a powerful way to help us tap into our intuition and that surrender piece that you're talking about.
One thing I'm trying to do more this season on the podcast is to talk about dreaming. Now, obviously, today we're talking about dreams that we have when we're sleeping, but there's always the conscious dream, of I want to have this experience or this type of relationship, or I want to become more this way. So how do you connect the dots, Holly, between the dreams we experience when we're sleeping and the conscious dreams we desire?
So we're all energy and we have different energetic bodies, energetic fields to us. And whether we are daydreaming or night dreaming, we are vibrating those energy fields in a way. We're in that space. We're not necessarily in our thinking mind. We're in our outer energies and our energetic fields. And so I think daydreaming can be so powerful. It is so powerful, and it's just as powerful as our dreams. So that's how I see them is they are, I don't know if it's like tuning forks. I see a lot of, when I do these interviews, I see lots of like visions.
Sure.
And I see right like now energetic fields vibrating. And so it's like our daydreaming vibrates those energetic fields and our night dreaming vibrates those energetic fields. And what is so powerful about both daydreaming and night dreaming is when you get used to vibrating in those frequencies, your physical life starts resonating that way. So if you're daydreaming about this life that you envision for yourself, that can help you align more fully into actually calling that in and manifesting that in. So I get a lot of, I'm going to give an example of how this works in the dream world. So that's like the daydream. And then the night dream, I get a lot of people who often message me and they're like, okay, so I just had this most amazing magical dream about my crush. We were living in this village that I've always wanted to live in, and the ocean was nearby and we had kids and blah, blah, blah. And it was so amazing. And they're like, does this mean he's my one or she's my one or they're my one? And I'm like, well, no, not necessarily, because what could be happening and what most likely is happening is you're having that experience to feel that energy, to like vibrate those energetic fields for yourself, to help you align, to help you embody that energy of the future that you want to create for yourself. And so when you wake up, you have that feeling, and that feeling from that experience that you had in the dream world ripples out. And that is what is going to help you attract that life with the perfect partner. It's not necessarily that person you have the crush on, but it's just, that's what the dream is showing you, because that's who your crush is right now.
Is that the manifestation? Is when you talked about your night mm-hmm. dreams helping you manifest what you want for your life when you're conscious and not dreaming. Is that how the manifestation happens? I'm not saying that very eloquently because I don't quite speak your language yet, but
yeah,
are you tracking with my question?
Yes, I'm totally understanding your question. And it is a part of it. There's other ways to manifest through the dream world, but that is a great way and an easy way that everybody already kind of does. Like we often will have dreams and they are of, you know, maybe what we daydream. So yes, to answer your question, it is one of the powerful ways that we can use dreams to manifest.
And where does meditation come into play with dreams?
I mean, meditation is a bit different. You can still access, like when you're meditating, you can still go into those realms of spirit, those dimensions. So you can still access the same energy. It's almost just like a different tool to get there. It's like a different car that takes you to the spirit world versus dreams. So dreams and meditation can help you do the same thing.
Okay.
They're like a vehicle to the spirit world.
I'm going to shift it just a bit because I have a few more questions and I really want to get to these before our time is out. But I know that when I'm stressed, Holly, I don't necessarily dream so much. And so for the listener who maybe is experiencing a lot of stress because of divorce with, you know, co-parenting or just financially or community, who knows, right? There's so many different layers that you experience when you go through a divorce or you're starting a new chapter. What tips can you give to the listener who's not dreaming anymore to help him dream again? Because dreams are clearly so meaningful and necessary.
Yeah. And so we go through cycles in our life where we dream more or dream less or don't dream at all. And there's so many various reasons. One of those can be stress. It can be disrupted sleep cycles, bad sleep cycles, insomnia. And so there's many, many reasons. And so if you are going through a divorce and you are not dreaming, I would take that as a sign that you are going very deep into the spirit world. You are getting all the energetic support and healing that you need. And it wouldn't be helpful for you to remember. There's a lot of things that we do.
I love that. That's really freeing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're like, there's so many healing places that we go to in the dream world. You just are getting recharged. And so that's how I would look at it. Like maybe you're still waking up and you're not dreaming and you're still feeling exhausted and overwhelmed, just know that you are still getting the support and just trust the process, because your soul is doing what your soul needs to do and getting all the energetic support it needs. And you just might not be conscious of it. And that's fine.
That's really helpful, because I think sometimes we feel bad when we don't remember our dreams, or we don't think
we're
dreaming.
Yeah, we feel like we're broken or something.
Right. There's something wrong with us. I know I've felt that way in my life. So does that, when it comes to actually remembering dreams, because I know what I've been told, and I'd love to hear your opinion, is right when you get up, you should document your dream in some way with a journal or something like that to help you remember, because it just, mm-hmm. for me, at least, you know, at this stage in my life, I'm a little older than you, Holly, so my memory's not so great. So I've learned to write everything down, especially my dreams. So how would you
help the listener? Spicy fact, I'm actually older than you think.
Oh, well, girl, you look yummy to
People
me.
People still think I look at like I'm in my 20s, but.
Well, good for you.
I know this isn't a video.
That mountain video. Breeze you are enjoying in Calgary. We all need more of that, I think. So how would you help? What would you be your advice, I should say, for someone who is dreaming, but maybe not isn't remembering his dreams as well?
Yeah. So remembering dreams is like working out. It's the muscle of remembering dreams. You have to work it out and you have to exercise it and you have to practice. And so one of my favorite tips that actually I stumbled upon by accident was in the mornings, the snooze alarm. I was in this period where I was like, oh, I don't want to go to work. Like, I have to wake up. I have to go to work. I just want to keep sleeping. And I would literally set my alarm like a good half an hour, 45 minutes before I actually had to get up. And then I would just keep hitting the snooze alarm. And I noticed that in that time, I would go immediately back into another dream or the same dream. And so every time the snooze alarm would go, I actually started using that to remember my dreams. So that was a really helpful tip. Another tip that I would say is when you wake up, do your best to not move. So maybe like hit that alarm, turn it off, but then just like really be still and focus on your dream. Focus on all the things that you remember from your dream. And what you're doing is you're taking it from the dream world and like kind of pulling it into your conscious mind. And I would do that before you reach for your dream journal. So this actually happened to me this morning. So for me, what I do is I have an Apple Watch and there is an app. It's called Just Press Record. And I use this app because all you have to do is tap the screen once and it immediately starts recording. And I record like a voice memo. And so I do that throughout the night and I'll do that in the morning before I reach for my dream journal. And it's interesting because this morning I've noticed this before, like it was so obvious this morning where it's like I couldn't form the words, even though I knew what the dream was. And so this is why I say you need to take that time to pull it from the dream world into your conscious mind before you start using your motor skills or like, you know, writing things down, because it's like, it's hard. Your brain isn't quite awake. You're not quite firing yet. So those are two tips. Another odd thing, I have no idea why or how it works. I don't know what the science is behind it, but someone had shared this with me a while ago. And then I tested it out on like my friends and my husband because they were non-dreamers and they started dreaming again. And it was vitamin B6.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I have no idea. And it was like B6 on its own. So not like in a multi-B vitamin, but I don't want to like tell people to start taking supplements, but
that was your experience.
That was their experience. And there's different herbs and stuff too that people can use. Like mugwort is a really great herb. That's probably like my favorite one. Passion flower, also a really great.
Ooh, passion flower. That sounds good.
Yeah.
So dream languages. We all have a dream language. What does that mean? I know that's a big question. I know to keep it succinct, but I've never heard of that before. I was on your website reading about this and I've never heard about that before.
Yeah. So we all have our own personal dream language. And the reason we do is because we've had our own experiences, our own personal experiences with different people, places, things, animals, everything. We've all had and how we interpret those experiences are individual to us. And so it's the same when it comes to our dreams. There are certain archetypes like the elements that we have more common associations with. So those might be ones that you can more easily tune into and give a more general blanket kind of idea as to what that dream might mean. Just like your paint, your white wall paint, like that seems that like that's kind of like a more obvious one. But you know, I have always said, if you and I have the same dream, it could mean something completely different because of your own associations differ from my own personal associations. So that's why we have our own personal dream language. So I always say, tune into your own intuition first, your own personal dream language first, before you like go to your computer and Google or ChatGPT these days.
Holly, what are three ways dreams can bring transformation to someone who's been divorced?
One is like that energetic healing I was saying. So just trusting the process and trusting that you are receiving that energetic healing. The second would be helping you tune into your intuition in a deeper way so you can navigate your daily life with more confidence and clarity. And the third one would be messages that you receive through your dreams. You know, whether that's your spirit guides sharing messages with you, maybe it's even loved ones coming to you in your dream space and just giving you like a really nice, awesome hug and just like showering you with love in a dream, or you know, having an experience that is just relaxing or peaceful or joyful in your dream. those are all messages as well.
I love it. If the listener today wants to continue evolving her understanding of dreams and work with you, what do you suggest she do?
I suggest they go to my Instagram because I've got tons of information there, lots of free resources. My link in bio has all of my links to working with me, my offerings, if they want to do one-on-one work, if they have a dream. I do dream interpretations, but it's very much intuitive-based dream interpretations and kind of empowerment interpretations. And yeah, all of that is in my link in bio. And I'll send you all the links too, so you can put them in the show notes.
I will. And what is your handle on Instagram again for the listeners?
Yes, it is Dream Oracle Holly.
And you also have a podcast. And a blog.
Yeah. So my podcast is called The Dream Collective, and it's on all the platforms. And my website is hollyemerson.com. My last name has two M's in it. So HollyEmerson.com.
Fantastic. I so appreciate this rich episode so that we can really, you know, use our dreams as guides, tools, support, and even as like a friend. You know, it's something now that when I will go to sleep now, I know I'm going to look at or think about dreams differently. Like, I'm going to receive something from my dreams that is going to help me and support me and get me to the next step. So how empowering and
yes,
delicious, wonderful. So thank you so much, Holly, for sharing your gift and your insights with us.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I love being on here and I enjoyed this conversation.
And we definitely want to connect with you on the gram. So let's find a way that maybe we can do something creative, because I love to do divorced and happy game nights. And I have a feeling we could do something creative together and get a lot of my followers to find you that way as well. So let's talk about that. But thank you again, yes. Holly. So it's been fantastic.
Yes, sounds great. Thank you so much.
Soteria is named after a goddess, meaning deliverance and protection while transitioning through difficult times. If you're looking for a lighthearted way to support and cheer someone through a divorce, consider Soteria pins. 10% of the sales of these charming and cheeky enamel pins goes to domesticshelters.org. Visit soteriapins.com. Oh, thank you so much, Holly, for that really fascinating conversation. I love that chat. I'm even more excited to go to bed now tonight, right? Aren't you? I might even go to bed a little early. Like the sound of that. All right, it is burning question time. Today's thoughtful question comes from my divorced dad pal, Jeff.
Hi, this is Jeff from New York. I have a question for you. I keep hearing that divorce is very much like a loss. It's almost like mourning the death of someone close to you. I've had a lot of varied, widely varied experiences with death of people close to me, and I don't know how I'm working through my divorce. It's been almost a year, but how do I know that I'm working through this and I'm recovering well?
This is such a layered and beautiful question. And Jeff, I just want to say the fact that you're even asking this question to me indicates that you are on your path to recovery. And it is a journey, no doubt. So what I wanted to share today are just three markers that when I reflected on your question that came to mind that really indicated to me that I was, quote, recovering well after my divorce. The first one is, I want to know, Jeff, if you were across the table from me right now and I asked you this question, how do you feel when you think about your ex, or how do you feel when you're around your ex? What would you say? For me, when I initially was around my ex after divorce, I felt very uncomfortable. I felt very angry. I felt very bitter. I was very much bitter table for one after that for a variety of reasons. And I held on to that anger for a good year. It just fueled me. I needed it. You know, I was also living a good life. I wasn't like angry all the time. But when I thought of him, I felt angry. Okay. And then my mom died. Speaking of death, my mom died January of 2020. And I didn't want to feel angry anymore. I didn't have energy to feel angry anymore. I wanted to find peace. And so I started to see a therapist. I invested into therapy, which I hadn't done prior. And that was the reversal around my need to hold on to anger when it came to my ex, who I like to actually call now my co-parent, because that just feels more loving and healing. And what's fun now being on the other side of all that anger, because really, and I've shared this before in the podcast, all that anger I really felt at him was shame I felt towards myself. And once I could forgive myself for the things that I did in my marriage or didn't do in my marriage, it was not really necessary to be so angry anymore. So now it's so nice to be on the other side of that, Jeff. It is so nice because when I'm with my co-parent and we're doing family things, we just had a fun concert about a month ago now. It was great to be with him and my two kids and have fun and have levity. Sometimes I'm in a space where I ask my co-parent for a hug and I like it, you know, feels good. It feels like a positive way to connect with him that's appropriately intimate. And I love to laugh with him, you know, to talk about fun memories, to reminisce. I like to do that with our kids. It's healing to me. It's helpful to me. So that is my first marker. The second one is, and this took me a long time to figure out, so I'm happy I can share it with you today and to the listener because I really want you and all of my divorce friends to enjoy your own company, you know, like really, really enjoy your own company. I'm someone who loves to stack her schedule. I love to be social. I love to try new things. I love to explore all of that. But I have learned in the last, I'd say, year and a half to really enjoy just being with me and having fun with my own company. That's super empowering. But it took a long time to figure that out, the importance of that. So if you can really enjoy your own company, you are recovering well. And hey, you live in New York City, Jeff. That's like my favorite city ever. You have so much to do there. Get lost in your city with yourself. Oh my gosh, you're so lucky. And, you know, sometimes just find a quiet space in your city where you're not distracted from all the bells and whistles of New York, where you can just breathe and be in your body, you know, maybe dream a little bit. That sounds nice, right? Dreaming. To carry out that theme more today, all about the dreaming. And my last indicator that I'm going to share is, are you feeling hopeful? Are you feeling excited about your future? Are you planning things to look forward to? Are you allowing yourself to believe that you can have love again? Maybe it will look different than it did when you were married, but you can absolutely have love again. Love is experienced in so many ways, and I have learned to experience love in new ways since my divorce. So if you're feeling hopeful, if you're feeling excited about your future, you, my friend, are recovering well. So thanks for your question, Jeff. And Jeff and I, we were actually, this is exciting, we're having a conversation about starting a divorced and happy meetup group in New York City. Oh yeah. So if you live in New York City, DM me and I will connect you to Jeff. So friend, if you live in New York City, DM me and I will connect you to Jeff. And our hope is to plan something this summer of 2024. I am also doing meetups in Denver. I have some next weekend on the 27th, April 27th. I will be having a brunch at the Hornet. It's like my favorite brunch place in Denver. Come and join in the fun. And if you cannot make it to the Hornet, then come and raise a glass on the 29th of April because my dear friend, Jasmine Rice, who's also a life coach in Denver, she and I are co-hosting a happy hour. I know, yummy. And I'm so excited to share, if I haven't already, is I'm doing some meetups in Washington, D.C. this spring, May 4th and May 5th. I'm doing a coffee on the 4th and a Cinco de Mayo fun time happy hour on the 5th of May. So look for the links to both of those meetup groups in the show notes. And if you live in those cities or near those cities, come and join in the fun. And if you have friends that live in those cities, tell them all about it. And speaking of fun, I will see you next week for an all new episode of Sadie's Divorced and Happy Podcast. I will catch you then. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode, and be sure to treat yourself by subscribing to the podcast. If today's show gave you a boost, consider giving us some love with a 5-star rating and an enticing review. Interact with Mike and me all season long on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Pinterest at Sadie's Divorced and Happy. Looking for an affordable and effective way to market your services and products? Consider sponsoring the podcast. Email contact@divorcedandhappy.net to learn more about our sponsorship opportunities. Join us next Wednesday for more delicious life after divorce fun.